B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming.
A production of Beasley Esports XP.
Google has stepped into the gaming market. And they didn't come in like a wrecking ball.
Oh my God.
Sort of like a wet fart in a theater. Welcome to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, what did games that were made 15 years ago think the future would be in 2020? Plus, we're going to check out who failed it this hour and China, back in the headlines. They're trying to ban kids from arcades. Those conversations coming up here today on Checkpoint XP. But we start today talking about Stadia, the much anticipated system. I don't know if you can even call it a system. They're kind
platform.
Of platform. That's a
service?
Good way to put it. Service, maybe. I think all of those can probably be applied to Stadia, although console, I'm not sure.
No,
despite
not.
What their marketing might say.
Yeah. So Google Stadia, basically the premise here is that you can stream the games that you want to stream on any device that you want to.
Hold on, Robbie. What do you mean by stream?
Being able to just play without having to download anything, the game just goes straight into your device, whatever you want to use.
So it's the Netflix of video games.
That's exactly it. Well, that's what they were hoping that it would be. Launched with only 22 games, which as far as launch libraries go, it's a little slim, especially considering that none of these games are really new. They're all stuff that you may have already bought or played.
What are we talking
point.
Here?
We're looking at stuff like Destiny 2, for example. Final Fantasy 15.
No.
No, absolutely
Football Manager 2020.
No, double no.
Nobody's played that, but it's not because it's new or anything. Ghost Recon Breakpoint is on here. Mortal Kombat 11. Red Dead Redemption 2. I mean, there's some good games
there's
on
some good.
But everybody already has those games.
Yeah, that's really kind of the big problem. And Norris, you had said something a moment ago that this is like the Netflix for video games. Although, unlike Netflix, it still charges you money to purchase the games that you don't then get to download on your own computer.
Yes,
you just purchase the right to stream them, and by the way, that's no cheaper than the normal retail price of the game.
Yeah, currently right now, the first people in the door to use Google Stadia were the people who pre-ordered. They got like a special Founders Pack or something. You got a special controller and stuff like that. But eventually this will be opened up to everyone, and the ability to join the service won't cost anything, but you will be purchasing games for streaming.
Okay, so you know what? If I don't already own, you know, a piece of gaming hardware, this actually sounds like a hell of a deal for me.
I mean, it definitely can be, especially if you're somebody who, one, doesn't own a console, or two, doesn't own a beefy, hefty gaming PC.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, there will be games, hopefully, that you played on PC or could play on PC that will be coming to this service that you wouldn't necessarily begin to, you know, play on any other platform.
All right, but there's got to be a catch here, though. If I'm not having to spend $500 on a console to get in the door for these games, where's the catch?
The concern here is over the data cap. Streaming these games directly to your devices, we're being told that it can be upwards of 20 gigabytes an hour if you're on 4K gaming, which you don't need to be. So if you're doing it at a reasonable amount, which is probably about like 1080p, 60 frames per second, you're looking at about 6 gigabytes an hour.
But Robbie, wait. I got unlimited data.
I would check with your data provider because you probably don't, actually. But look, if you're...
Oh, so it could raise my cable bill.
It could. If you're playing 10-20 hours a month. But think about it. If you're only maybe, let's say that, you know, between... when you're at work, you're on your lunch, you want to play some Red Dead Redemption 2 on your phone, right? If you're only playing 3 to 4 hours a week, not that bad.
To CheckpointXP.com for the latest in esports and gaming news.
All right, we got a call in on the Checkpoint XP hotline. Let's check it out.
Hey, it's Tim from Washington. I've been hearing a little bit about the Google Stadia, but what are the games like? I want to get it, but I don't know if it's worth dropping all that money.
So we actually brought in investor in Stadia and producer for the show, Joe. You actually own a Stadia. You invested in it. You laid down the money for this.
Yeah, I don't know if I want investor in Stadia on my business card.
Too bad. It's the title that you're getting for today.
Great. Yeah, I did. I did pick up Stadia, and I did try it out quite a bit over the weekend. It works. It definitely is kind of like what they bill it as. You want to play a game wherever you happen to be without having to worry about a download time or a patch time or anything like that. It works. Input lag wasn't really noticeable, so it was, that was good.
Do you wish you might have waited, though, a little bit?
You know what I've kind of come to the conclusion of? This isn't made for me.
Really?
It is not a system that was made for me, and I was talking to my cousin Tim about it, right? So he is an older gamer. He's about 10 years older than I am, and one of the things that he always talks to me about is like, you know, I'd love to get into this game, but I have a PS3. I don't have a PS4, and there's no game that's worth me buying a PS4 to get. Stadia is a perfect solution to that. You don't ever have to worry about keeping up on your hardware. Just buy a game that you want to play and play it.
Interesting take. Thank you very much, Joe, for coming in here and lending some expertise. And also, thank you to Tim as well. All right, it's time for Checkpoint XP's Close Shave of the Week.
Stay close to the heat.
Close Shave.
Turn out.
On Checkpoint XP.
And this week's Close Shave goes out to Gen.G Esports, who clinched their victory at the PUBG Global Championships in the closest way possible.
Your 2019 EGC champions, Gen.G!
These guys have stepped up when it mattered. That was one hell of a game to close us out, as it was just so back and forth towards the tail end of it. It was, you could see so many teams just trying their hearts out.
All right, so Gen.G Esports clinched their victory at the PUBG Global Championships by winning no games on the final day.
Wow.
Zero. They won in purely kill points and from their performance from day one. That's about as close of a tournament victory as you can get. Make sure you check out Checkpoint XP's Close Shave of the Week over at our website, checkpointxp.com. So the Game Awards are coming up December 12th. These are the awards that are put on by Jeff Keighley every year. They kind of spun out of the Game Awards that used to appear on Spike TV. Now they're available online, YouTube and Twitch. They'll be streaming them live. And a ton of different categories and a ton of different games being announced for those awards.
Yeah, so we're going to go through some of the nominees here. Up for Game of the Year is Control, Death Stranding, despite only coming out a few weeks ago, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Resident Evil 2 Remake, Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, and The Outer Worlds.
So, it's a really good list.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
It is a very good list. So I thought as we kind of go through these that we would give our own predictions for the categories.
Well, I love a lot of these games. I don't think you can deny the success of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
It's pretty tough. I mean, you know, that came out last December. It set the world on fire, the competitive world and the, you know, just casual. Mm-hmm. Everyone owns this game.
Yeah, if you own a Switch, you own Smash.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's pretty hard to argue with. If I was going with a favorite out of this list, I would have to go with Death Stranding.
For best score in music, we have The Cadence of Hyrule, Death Stranding, Devil May Cry 5, pull my devil trigger,
Kingdom Hearts 3
and Sayonara Wild Hearts. I'm giving my vote to Devil May Cry 5.
Death Stranding again.
The music is really good.
An impeccable soundtrack. Mostly, it was low roar songs
obscure Scandinavian prog rock.
Oh, I love Hideo Kojima. But yes, he does have a fascination with prog rock. But also, great original music in there from Churches as well, who actually performed years ago on the Game Awards, which makes me wonder if maybe that wasn't the first time that Hideo Kojima was introduced to Churches, and maybe that's where that that meeting of the minds came to actually happen.
For best ongoing game, they have Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Rainbow Six Siege.
One of these things is not like the other ones.
Yeah, one of these games is actually very, very old at this point. Came out all the way back in 2010.
Yeah.
Or at least the first version of it did before they went back and fixed it. Of course, I'm talking about Final Fantasy 14. This would not be who gets my vote, but I don't think any other game in this category does get my vote. I think I have to abstain from this one.
I'm gonna be honest, because none of those games I think particularly really blew
Destiny
me away.
Destiny 2 turned themselves around, though.
They did, but Fortnite got on the front page of New York Times.
That's fair.
Like, you know, with the Season 2 announcement, it's a part of the cultural zeitgeist. As much as I actually want to say Final Fantasy 14, because that game, because
Shadowbringers was good, yeah,
it's very good, but I'm gonna have to go with Fortnite.
All right,
let's shift some gears here, and I want to actually check out some of these esports categories as well.
Absolutely.
For best esports host, we have Candice, Golden Boy, Red Eye, Machine, Golden Boy. Wow. Hands down, I will always go for Golden Boy.
I think it's got to be Golden Boy. He's had a monumental year, not just in esports, but also breaking into commentating for wrestling, mm-hmm, for AEW. I mean, that's the hottest wrestling promotion in the United States right now. Like, I don't know how you can argue with Golden Boy.
No, without a doubt, it's Golden Boy.
Absolutely.
Best esports event, we have the 2019 Overwatch League Grand Finals, EVO 2019, the Fortnite World Cup, IEM Katowice 2019, League of Legends World Championship 2019, of course, the International 2019.
World
was great, but the Fortnite World Cup, man.
Yeah, it was definitely monumental. Here's the thing. We talked last week on the show about the Esports Awards, which is different from the Video Game Awards, by the way, that League of Legends actually ended up taking it for best esports event for their awards. Worlds... Man, it's tough to argue that.
I gotta go with Worlds, man.
Dude, that True Damage performance was
amazing.
No, but here's the thing, Robbie, is that everybody talked about the Fortnite World Cup. Why? Because of the prize pool and because what Booga walked away with, not because of the event itself.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What are your predictions for the Video Game Awards? Remember, they're coming around December 12th. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
China has already restricted how much money and time folks under the age of 18 can spend with video games, and now they're coming to the arcades and net cafes as well. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening out in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600, 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, The Other Identity, and Low Team Damage. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. Check it out over at CheckpointXP.com/shop. The Chinese government has come to arcades and net cafes to ask them to stop admitting those under the age of 18 to the premises unless it's a school holiday.
Yeah, you read that right.
This is absurd.
Yeah, it isn't a law this time. There's no actual bans going in, but the Ministry of Culture and Tourism did suggest that, as you said, any arcades or internet cafes, they ban anyone under the age of 18 from entering unless it is a school holiday. And they said that this will promote the healthy development of the industry and meet the growing needs of the people for a better life.
This is some dystopian Akira type stuff, okay? Like,
I mean, the
you know,
time frames are about lining up now,
you know
so.
What this is going you know what this is going to lead to? This is going to lead to underground and black market internet cafes and
that's kind of awesome, actually. But you know what, as soon as I heard this, I thought instantly back to the incident earlier this year with Blitzchung. And just a refresher, Blitzchung was a Hearthstone player who went out on a stream and made very pro-Hong Kong protest statements.
After winning a tournament.
After winning a tournament. And the Chinese government reached out to Blizzard through Tencent. They essentially said, you know, hey, man, you got to get rid of him. But the thing is, for me, it's hard not to see the parallels of, okay, Blitzchung makes his statements, he gets banned, and then a month, less than a month later, there's a huge ban on, you know, children and their ability to play video games. And now, in conjunction with that, there's government agents now going to arcades and net cafes and telling them not to admit people under the age of 18. It's hard for me not
is
to make the
tinfoil hat on.
It's hard for me not to see all of this put together and just draw a logical conclusion. Blitzchung has started a wave of the Chinese government starting to not want video games in that country, man.
Listen, this is a pretty convenient argument to say anti-government sentiment is coming in, and it's coming in through video games that we're importing from other countries. I think that that's a very convenient sort of propaganda line to be able to toe, and I think it's going to be very interesting the way that this issue ends up evolving and continuing, whether there is more of a concerted effort to crack down on video games in that country. But do you think that this is just kneecapping the esports talent, the future esports talent that could be coming out of the region? They just won Worlds. They're, you know, China is extremely competitive in almost every game that they compete in. Is this going to ruin an entire generation of esports talent?
You're not going to see it right now, but when you look at the skill gap that exists between someplace like South Korea and North America, when they've had 15 years of infrastructure built into their scene, 10 or 15 years from now, China's not going to be anywhere on the map if this continues.
Need to stay up to date. I need that.
Head to checkpointxp.com for the latest in esports and gaming news.
Norris, have you ever wanted to ask Robbie a question?
Yeah, like, what is it like to sell cattle?
I mean,
that's right,
work.
Farm boy. Listen, if you want to ask any question under the moon to any of the Checkpoint XP radio hosts, it's really easy to do. All you have to do is connect with us on social media, Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram, and then send us a DM. Sound off on your favorite video games, gaming news, or your favorite teams, or just say what's up. So time to switch gears and talk about VR. We got the big announcement from Valve last week that Half-Life Alyx is coming to VR platforms. And this got a pretty big reaction from us here in the newsroom. I think that it's really interesting that Valve is putting out some exclusive software for VR headsets, because as soon as VR hit in a kind of mainstream capacity, what we asked was, what would it take for someone to invest in a VR headset? Now, personally, Half-Life Alyx doesn't get it done for me. But I wanted to pose the question out to you guys. What is it going to take for a game developer? What kind of software, what kind of features have to exist out there for you personally to lay out the money for a VR headset?
Well, I already did so about 4 years ago when the first sort of big VR craze had sort of passed through E3. You know, there was a lot of big VR stuff that was coming out. Specifically, I think it was Resident Evil 7.
There were a lot of ports. There were a lot of ports that were coming out.
See, I had looked at it and I had thought, there's no way I can't get a VR. There's so much coming out on it. And that's the part that sort of caught me, is that they were ports. It wasn't just VR stuff. So I'm playing them in the VR, and it's not really, it's cool,
but I don't think it justified the money when I could have played it just as easily on the console.
Haven't done it for me, man.
Let me ask you a question, though. Did you feel burned by that? Like, after you bought it and you've been playing it for a while, you got to experience
that VR
headset.
Knowing what I know now, do I wish I hadn't have invested? Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Norris, you had just said it doesn't get it done for you. What has to be there to get it done?
It's too expensive. It costs too much damn money. Flat out, man. Like, I understand. No matter the game. If they put
Cyberpunk 2077 VR only.
If I got to spend an extra $200 to play it, I'm not buying it. Sorry.
What if there's four, like, AAA games out for it?
If it costs an extra $200 for me to invest in it, it's too much.
Honestly, I think that's VR's biggest problem right now is that if you go out and you spend the money on the headset, you need an additional piece of hardware to make it run. Either you need the PlayStation 4 or you need a high-powered PC
to
be able to run it.
To come built into the console.
Or the headset is the console itself.
Yes.
Would be part of it, yeah.
Exactly. I think that the technology needs to shrink enough to where the headset is self-contained at the least, right? Where you have maybe even a backpack that you can put on.
Oh, yeah, because for the headset, by the way, that's like an extra 7 cords, just letting you know.
Exactly. The amount of cords that you have to... You end up feeling like you're hooked up to a whole bunch of tubes and machines, and it's very uncomfortable to play for long stretches and long periods of time. So, you know, I think at least for me, it would take some kind of game that I am hardcore invested in already to make it exclusive to the platform, and then... Only if I already have the gaming PC would I be open.
But listen to all those. But listen to all
headset.
Those conditions. Listen to all those conditions that you put on that. Like, that's what I'm saying. VR hasn't got to that point to where they say, I know enough is coming out on this from the layout that I'll buy it knowing the good stuff is coming.
Hold on, though. I want to kind of reset your expectations here because I don't think paralleling buying a headset to a console is exactly a parallel. I think a better parallel to draw is, are you going to make an investment in a headset or a television? Right? Because that's your display. That's where the display is ultimately living. So, you know, in terms of prices versus television, actually, those headsets are pretty competitive.
Yeah, but I get more use out of my television than just playing this game. My television is used for all my streaming, and at this point, can also be used as a sex screen for my PC as well.
See, now that's the interesting thing, is that the majority of people who have VR headsets are not using them to consume TV or to consume movies. And I think that
Being able to lie in bed and just look up and see everything you need.
That's pretty cool.
Nothing like it.
I mean, listen, it's pretty cool, but I don't think anyone's buying the hardware for that reason.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, well, listen, we want you to sound off in our online poll. Are you interested in virtual reality? Make sure you connect with us on social media, Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. And when you connect with us, make sure you sound off using the hashtag XP on air.